Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Ah, they've had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much indeed, Daphne. Amazing to have that reading with all those names in all those places, like speaking in tongues to have to do the reading in the first place. Thanks very much indeed to the home team who've helped put on our service this evening. To Jenny and all those here at All Saints, particularly the worship team, thank you very much indeed. And also to the curates of the Woolwich Episcopal area as well, who've been involved in putting together some of the key ingredients of our service today. So thank you to that. And so welcome. Yeah, indeed. Welcome to the Woolwich Episcopal area Thy Kingdom Come Beacon event. If the Archbishop can have one in Trafalgar Square, we can have one in Peckham. We know where we are. And it's great also in the Episcopal area to have the Episcopos with us. That's Bishop Carraway. Bishop Carraway, it's so good to see you. We know that you're not really here at all because you're not allowed to start duty for another couple of weeks. But it's very, very nice to see you amongst us this evening. And I don't feel the least bit put upon to have to take on preaching because you weren't allowed to. So what is your favourite then? I'm just wondering, you see, it's a little bit difficult in our supermarkets these days because we can have anything from anywhere in the world most weeks anyway. And it's kind of taken away that sort of old-fashioned thing about our favourite, whatever it is, coming into season. I don't know what it is that you have as your mouth-watering expectation as you look forward to the harvest of that particular thing, whatever that one might be. And we have to wait and wait till it comes round. What might that expectancy be for you? Is it strawberries or plums or new potatoes? Or perhaps it's mangoes or tamarinds and papaya? I had jackfruit this week for the first time for years. I grew up in South India and was used to a lot of these tropical things, and it was mouthwatering to have it in a curry. I'd only had it as a sweet before. That was amazing. Very different indeed. So different. And here we are, waiting expectantly, mouth-wateringly, because, curiously, Pentecost is about harvest. It's known in the Jewish context as the festival of Shavuot. It's the festival of weeks, one of the harvest festivals, one of two harvest festivals. The Torah mandates that there should be a 7-week counting of the Omer, beginning on the second day of the Passover, to be immediately followed by Shavuot. And the counting of the days and weeks is understood to be part of the express anticipation and desire and the waiting for the Torah. It was the giving of God's word to the people. That's what they were expectant and waiting for. Here was the word of God arrived for them. And so the Passover, as people were gathered for it, what we call the Passover, they were freed from their Passover. The Israelites were freed from their enslavement to Pharaoh. But in Shavuot, they were given the Torah and become a nation committed to serving God. People were gathered for Shavuot, as we know from our reading, from all over the world. There was a sense of expectancy and anticipation and desire. In the Middle East, it's the first of the two harvests that take place there. First, the Passover itself is the start of the barley harvest. And at Shavuot, those weeks later, is marked the start of the wheat harvest. That's what it is today. So no wonder there was a sense of expectation. After the dearth, there was the season of abundance. After the scarcity, there's the fulfillment of promise. After penance and fasting, there's partying and feasting. No wonder in Jerusalem there was a sense of waiting and longing. The people gathered for the feast, waiting. The disciples gathered, following Jesus' injunction to them, were waiting for the Holy Spirit. And now the promise is fulfilled, and Pentecost comes, and the Spirit comes, and Jesus' promise is fulfilled among the disciples. Immediately it transforms them. Those gathered in the upper room spill out exuberant. All were amazed, Daphne read to us a moment ago, and perplexed. What does this mean? If we'd gone on a bit further, we'd said, no, we're not drunk, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It may have only been 9 o'clock in the morning there, that first Pentecost. But today, for us, history has moved on. And now, if that was 9 o'clock in the morning, we must be late on in the evening of the daytime of history, as it were. The disciples were aware that Jesus was about to leave them. That's what he had warned them that he was going to do. And that's why they had gathered, waiting for the coming Holy Spirit. And we know the Spirit is with us, as we are also awaiting Jesus' return. What, when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to them, what might they have been expecting? Because they didn't really know. There'd been no experience of the Spirit at that time. But in John chapter 7, John records something that may help us with this. On the first day of a different festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let anyone who believes in me drink. As the scripture said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now, he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. That was what Jesus was preparing them for. There'd been no Spirit because Jesus had not been glorified. But when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will quench all parched, thirsty souls. Yesterday, we had the Woolwich Episcopal Area MEAC Group pilgrimage. We have one every year. We usually go to a different cathedral. Anybody go yesterday? Anybody with us? One, two, three, four. Because Kate and I were there as well. And we went to Winchester. And we were welcomed in Winchester by two African bishops. Well, sort of. One by birth, one by adoption. Both of them had been nurtured through their childhood there. Both white and English, but African by experience. Bishop Tim Dakin, the Bishop of Winchester, and Bishop David Williams, the Bishop of Basingstoke, both of them with extensive East African experience. And Bishop Tim, at the start of our Eucharist, said yesterday that he was talking about revival in Africa. And he talked about the way that revival is received in different ways in different parts of Africa. He jested with our pilgrims and said, in West Africa, he said, revival is often met like this, he says, with hands raised up, with exuberance, with joy and rejoicing, hands in the air, he said. See what I mean? And Bishop Tim went on to say, and in East Africa, revival was often met with a response of people falling to their knees in repentance and in gratitude. And for me, actually, Pentecost is a bit of both of those things, not either or, but both and. If we'd gone on a wee bit further in the reading that Daphne read for us, we'd have heard that about 3,000 people joined the church that day. Peter got up to preach. People's hearts and lives were transformed. People came to faith. They repented. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them. They were told to repent, to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and that they would receive the Holy Spirit. So even within that, we've got kneeling in repentance, standing, spirit-filled, praising, arms outstretched, perhaps kneeling, hands raised in thanksgiving. Jesus, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the East and the West, even perhaps East Africa and West Africa being bridged in Jesus there. There's something else, eh? We're not waiting for the Spirit. I saw a social media post over this weekend saying, well, of course we're not waiting for the Spirit anymore. People are talking about waiting for the Spirit at Pentecost. We don't have to wait. The Spirit's already come because the Spirit's been given to the church. And I completely agree. The problem that I've got is not so much with the Spirit coming at Pentecost, or the Spirit remaining with the church until Christ comes or calls. My problem is me. You see, I'm kind of so full of holes and inadequacies, I leak. You see, as a preteen, I had a church leader lay hands on me to be filled with the Spirit, and I was. As a confirmand, a bishop laid hands on me to be filled with the Spirit. Confirm, O Lord, your servant Alistair, with your Holy Spirit. And I was. An ordinand, when I was ordained, a bishop laid his hands on me to be filled with the Spirit. And I was. So you'd have thought that by now I would be overflowing with the Spirit. And just take a look at me now. Because I leak. I cannot contain and hold in God's Holy Spirit in that way. And looking around, I'm not the only one. But you know, that's not the end of the story. Just as well, because in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, St. Paul leaves an imperative. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And if there's one thing I've learned from Despina, who's in one of my local congregations, we have to turn to the Greek, don't we? Yeah. Despina is a Greek Cypriot, and she always brings a bit of Greek into every sermon. I didn't even know she was coming tonight, and I've been out bounced by Despina even being here. Because I think it means more than be filled with the Spirit. It means keep on being filled with the Spirit. But it's a continuous present, isn't it? It keep on keeping on being filled. Ooh, hey, I got it about right. That's not bad, eh? Keep on keeping on being filled with the Spirit is what St. Paul actually said. Well, that's very good news for the likes of me and perhaps some of you what leak and can't contain and hold on to the Spirit in that way. So let's come to this Jesus then, as Jesus has called us to, because he said, let everyone who's thirsty come. Come and be filled with the Spirit. Well, tonight, we got an opportunity to ask God to do precisely just that, because we're going to be using some oil of chrism, blessed by the bishop, set apart for sanctifying, making things holy. Bishop Christopher does it, part of the Holy Week services on Maundy Thursday. There's a whole bunch of bottles of oil down here, and our curates are going to come and help anoint all of us that want to be anointed afresh tonight. It's used for setting apart something perhaps from an ordinary use to an extraordinary use. Sometimes they'll do it with an altar. So this is no longer just an ordinary table. This is a communion table where we celebrate the life that Jesus died and the life he brought back and sharing the bread and wine. But it's also used for anointing candidates at confirmation. It's used for anointing priests and bishops when they're ordained. It's used sometimes at the start of new ministries as well. And sometimes it's used for anointing others at other times as a sign and seal of the Spirit's anointing to each one of us, to you, to me. So there are going to be some here for whom that sounds weird. That's okay. Doesn't matter. We do lots of weird things in churches. You knew that already, didn't you, before you started? But the idea of, I mean, it's chrism oil at one level, yeah, what? There's an element about that. But there's also an element about, okay, oil that's been set aside, specially blessed particularly to represent God's Holy Spirit filling and anointing us as well. And so that's why we have this as a sign and a symbol. So there are going to be some people here for whom this is kind of a first-time thing, and that's okay. Perhaps a little like a tightly wound flower bud just beginning to open, opening in the sunshine. Sunshine, is that sunshine S-U-N or is that sunshine S-O-N? The Son of God shining, blossoming, bringing new life for the very first time. If that's you, then come and seek, come and ask, and God will send his Holy Spirit on you. Or perhaps there are those who are seeking God's Spirit as you seek to discern something for the future. What might God be calling you to and where? And how would that work out? And what's going to happen next? If that's you, then perhaps you also ought to think about coming and being anointed too. Or perhaps there are some people here who've already answered the call and stepped up to the plate, and there are all sorts of feelings and challenges is the word that people use these days, isn't it? It usually is challenge. It means hassle. And if you've got hassle and you feel that God called you to something and it's still hassly, well, perhaps you need a fresh assurance and empowerment to come through that as well. And if so, then you come tonight. And there may be some here tonight who come fearful as well, wondering what is it this Holy Spirit might do? What is going to be expected? Consuming fire? Ouch! I'm not sure I want too much of that. And yet, the Holy Spirit is no scary monster, but rather like the favorite kids' monster movies that you have seen. Here is someone who, in all power, is able to move the most unexpected things. If this embodies the power that raised the dead Christ to life again, and that's what the Holy Spirit can do, I'll have a bit of that. And we don't need to be fearful. You too can come. And for those who've come before and asked and been filled, but feel they aren't quite as full as they used to was, and who feel that perhaps the Spirit has been leaking out of you and you need a bit of a top up, or perhaps you feel a bit like one of those, perhaps one of those classic cars, perhaps a real fast one that's really done its time and done some really good races, but at the moment is sitting in a garage and covered in a dust sheet. Do you know what? That's not what racing cars are made for. They're meant to have the dust sheets taken off, to be topped up with oil and fuel and get out onto the racetrack once again. Let's hear the engine roar. If that's you and you feel that you need to be topped up afresh, then come tonight too. Tonight, we are invited by God to taste the mouth-watering fruit that he has prepared for us. We've been in the waiting season, and now the fruit is in season. Now the ripe harvest has come. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. May we turn, in our turn, bear fruits for God, the fruits of his Spirit. May we be enabled to do this through the gifts of God's Spirit working in us. And so may we be emboldened to share the good news with people this week. May we be ones who continue in asking for God's kingdom to come. May we be emboldened to pray more, with more faith ourselves. May we be fired up to share the love of Christ, to change our society, to change our world for him. May the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit be evident in you, in me, in our church, each of our churches, in our diocese, across this land, this earth, through this Pentecost. We're going to have a time in a moment where we can do just that, to have God's anointing upon us. I'm going to pray in a moment. But after I've prayed, then I'm going to ask some of our curates to come. They're going to bring some oil, or there's some oil here as well. And they're just going to stand around here. And if you'd like to be anointed, that's fine. Just come. They'll come. And they'll just put a little cross on your forehead in chrism oil and pray for you. There's also going to be a team from All Saints standing around here as well. If there's something a bit more you'd like a bit of prayer for, then you can come and pray with some of those as well. And just use the time to allow God's Holy Spirit to come and fill this place, to come and touch you afresh. May you know the power of God touching, filling you tonight. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, gut-churning, life-breaching, smouldering, tempering, bringing peace, come amongst us, we pray. Holy Spirit, life giver, love giver, hope giver, help giver, speech giver, breath giver, nourishment giver, prayer giver, wisdom giver, come. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Come, Holy Spirit, come.